Good morning, 640 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Brad Baker is a Santa Rosa County Administrator. He always joins us the Tuesday after the Monday committee meeting for the Santa Rosa County Commission. Brad, welcome back, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you for having me this morning.
Great to have you. Hey, can I just probably, you know, this is the kind of thing nobody thinks to say, except it suddenly occurs to me. The audio from the Tiger Point location for the committee meeting yesterday went perfect. Like, there was no problems. It works.
Yeah, the video wasn't great, but the audio did work.
Yeah, I don't watch the video. I record it and listen to it elsewhere. So fine for me. I'll take it. It was a win compared to, you know, some of the things we've had in the past. That's good.
Right.
Hey, let's start with, before we get into this week's material, let's start with something that's been kind of on the docket for a little while now. The unwillingness of Gulf Breeze and Milton to participate in the MSTU, which is the funding mechanism that you're using for the sheriff's office this year. And, you know, the sheriff, Johnson, has expressed some frustration about this. The numbers, when you add them up, seem to me to be about a $5 million gap. And so what I worried was, okay, if Gulf Breeze and Milton are not going to participate, then that means that there's about $5 million missing from the budget for the sheriff this year. Does that create a problem for other sources? Does that create a problem for the sheriff? You and I had talked about this a little bit offline. You know, you kind of answered my questions, but can you maybe tell people why it's not the problem that, even though it's not great, it's not the problem that it might appear to be?
Yeah, we had factored that in to balance the budget when we met with the sheriff. You know, obviously we would like them to join, but they do have their own police force. And really what drove this was, you know, the legislation is trying to do some things and trying to get more transparency and talking about, you know, eliminating property tax. So we were doing this to show the people, hey, this is what the sworn law enforcement component cost you in Santa Rosa County. You know, obviously the police departments, they have their own thing within both the municipalities. So it was really about being transparent and trying to show the people, because if we eliminate property tax, there's going to have to be some replacement or a fee for service. And obviously we know we want law enforcement to be strong in Santa Rosa County to keep our crime rate low.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it was kind of surprising because at first it seems like great news. If you're a Gulf Breeze resident, hey, $2 million, woohoo, off your tax bill. And if you're a Milton resident, $1 million, because they're going to increase their own internal by $1 million to make, you know, to generate some revenue. But then when you start thinking about the impact of the county, you're like, oh, that's bad. So you guys had factored this in. Also, just to clear up a maybe misunderstanding, you had talked with the city managers, for both Gulf Breeze and Milton long enough in advance that if they had been interested in participating, they could have opted in. Is that right?
We did. We talked with them before we even discussed the three different options, and talked to them right after the vote to only continue with the LEMSTU. So multiple times, yes.
Okay, so there was that opportunity. I just wanted to, because that had been kind of an uncertainty, I think. You know, there had been a question about, well, did the time...
No, I didn't talk to their city councils because that's not my job.
Oh, right.
Job,
I mean, you know, you're the
manager.
You're the administrator. The manager is supposed to talk to the city council. Right. One of the things, hey, just this is a small thing, but I happen to encounter it, and I know other people care about this stuff too. My wife and I have recently been starting boating at the kiddie pool end of the boating, but we use the Oriole Beach boat ramp, also Woodlawn Beach, which is great. Woodlawn Beach is fantastic. We just used that over the weekend, but the previous weekend we used Oriole Beach. That is a treacherous mess. I know it's in the process of getting fixed, but where does that stand right now?
Yeah, so we're struggling with boater registration funds. The Marine Advisory Committee recently voted to do an increase to allow us to generate more revenue to fix our boat ramps. You know, obviously trying to generate money for specific stuff other than roads and public safety is a challenge. You know, obviously our two priorities are, you know, public safety and infrastructure.
Right.
While you can say boat ramps are infrastructure, obviously, there are way more people interested in the roads than the boat ramps. But yes, if we are moving forward, obviously, we'll have to discover, you know, what the board wants to do as far as, do we want to expand the parking lot? What are we going to do with the ramp? And then identify a funding source. And we'll be talking capital allotment in September for our upcoming October with our capital funding plan.
I know the answer will depend entirely on what end result you're going to accomplish, as you just said. But, I mean, are we talking like $500,000, $3 million? What's the swag on the cost of making the Oriole Beach?
For that one, I think, if I remember right, it's in the $1.5 to $2 million range.
Okay. I kind of guessed that might be, but I was curious because you would know a lot better. Very interesting discussion yesterday. People have all kinds of opinions about this Navarre Community Access Road, which I know Colton Wright, Commissioner Wright, had tried to explain how it's really not meant to be just a straight up bypass of 98. But can you maybe just clarify a little bit what this thing is designed to accomplish, what it's not designed to accomplish, and where we are? Because the last I understood was it was basically a 30 or 35 mile an hour expansion of an existing road, and it kind of had gotten nowhere. We got into the, this is what we think we might do, but there's no funding for it, and there's no real final design for it. But you tell me, you're the expert.
Yeah, so that's the concept, is to be able to move local traffic to and from the businesses on 98, adjoining subdivisions, et cetera, to alleviate some of the traffic on 98 to allow that to be the through traffic. So it is not a Navarre bypass. It's a Navarre access road to allow access between all the different spaces on 98 to keep you from having to hit 98 to go to a Publix or go to the Ace Hardware, et cetera.
Okay. And am I right that there's at the moment, there's no real finalized design, and also there's no funding just yet?
Yeah, that's correct. We are in the early stages of planning. The PD&E is, we just did an extension on that for both it and Chemucla Highway so they could complete that. So, yeah, it's very early on. It hasn't went to design. The route hasn't been decided. And, you know, that's the fun stuff about Facebook and social media. When you pose a question like, the county is planning to do a bypass of 98 to funnel traffic through your neighborhood when they have East Bay Boulevard already, do you oppose this or you support it? Well, obviously, that's not a fair question, right?
Right.
So we're dealing with that, and it's just the world we're in now. So, but that is not accurate. It's not to bypass 98. It's to really do an access road. Now, if there's a bad wreck on 98, people need to get to Hobart Field. Obviously, they will use that.
Mm-hmm.
We know people are very resourceful, but it is a low-speed design that will prove walkability and drainage in those areas.
The one of the other things that you guys talked actually quite a bit about yesterday was the wastewater treatment plant and impact fees. And I will be honest, I kind of zoned out during this discussion, but can you maybe explain what the proposal is, what it's going to accomplish, how much we're talking about? It sounded like it was a pretty high number, but that the builders are like, we can make this all work. So you tell me, what's the discussion and what are they going to be voting on Thursday?
Yeah, and the main point of our wastewater treatment plant over in that area is for industrial growth. And we have several companies that committed, but we had to provide them sewer capacity by the first part of 2027.
And this is for the wastewater treatment plant on the industrial park south of I-10 on 87. So we're talking East Milton. That's what we're talking about, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, obviously, if we're going to build it in the city of Milton doesn't have capacity, we're going to build it for capacity for development as well. But the underlying cause of this was, we needed capacity for our industrial parks to bring high-paying jobs in to support our community. So with that being said, we were directed to set this up as an enterprise account. So to make an enterprise work, you have to have zero tax dollars. So we have to be able to pay the note and expand for future growth. So that's why the impact fees and the tap fees. Total for tap fees and impact fees, I believe, was $15,500.
Wow, that's residential.
That is residential, and it goes up for commercial.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm glad I asked. So $15,000 for a new house to be connected to the new wastewater treatment plant that you guys are building for the industrial park, in that area.
We're not factoring any capacity to, at this time, to go into subdivisions that already have septic.
Oh, sure.
And force them to go
right
to sewer. This is for
new
industrial growth, and then we have had a couple of subdivisions approach us and say they are interested in connecting to the wastewater, because if you have a ability to do quarter-acre lots, our code says you have to be on septic. So
okay. So this will allow them to develop a little bit more. Did I have it right? They can develop a little bit more density, which is to raise their profit. But at the same time, the trade-off is they're going to have to put an impact fee in order to qualify for that. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So not for, I mean, if we want to get there, we want to get, especially around our waterways, we want to get those off of septic.
Right.
But when you do a septic to sewer conversion, you can write that in the grant. You can waive some of the fees. So this is not for current residents. This is for future residents and primarily for industrial growth, because we had a couple of companies that would only commit once we signed the contract to build the plant.
Got it. Okay. And sort of on that note, in the Escambia County Commission meeting, there was a very weird kind of announcement. They were talking about an unrelated issue about the final approval for a subdivision, and there was a dispute over a woman who'd gotten a fence knocked down by the developer, and it was its own separate drama. But in that conversation, the city attorney Allison, or the county attorney Allison Rogers, told the board something that I had not heard before, which is that they don't have final plat approval for subdivisions anymore, that is by state law been given to the staff, that it doesn't even come to the commissioners anymore for a vote. Is that right?
That is correct. And that was another one of those attempts from the state to preempt the local government. And while we voiced some opposition to it, it did pass. So we've enacted it. And you'll see one on our board meeting yesterday. It was information only. It was just making the board and the public aware of a final plat that was approved. But we cannot take it to the board for approval. If it meets our code, we must approve it at the staff level. So we developed a policy we took to the board a couple meetings ago that allows the county engineer and a couple others, if the engineer is out, to do that approval so we meet the statutory requirements.
But I know I'm kind of asking you to elaborate on something that you opposed and did not pass, because it's not your baby, it's the legislature's baby. But I'm just kind of baffled by the idea that the county commissioners hire a county administrator. The county administrator hires a whole bunch of staff. The staff are accountable to you. You're accountable to them. And yet in all this process, the ability to final approve a plat subdivision by law now rests with a subordinate, indirect subordinate of the county commission, and they have no say in the final approval. I mean, am I reading this right? It's crazy to me.
Yeah, they're only saying it is what they put in the code. If it meets our code, we have to do it in a certain time frame and approve it.
Wow. I mean, that takes, I mean, I guess the public could go to meet at one of the, what, like planning or zoning board or planning board or something. But, I mean, that takes the public's conversation out of it as well if they have concerns, right?
It does. So, you know, it's, once the rezoning is done, it's pretty much not going to go back to the board, except that we're going to do it as information only, just so we're transparent that, hey, this one was approved. Nothing you can do about it, but it was approved.
God, that's just breathtaking. I mean, I was worried I was overreacting to this, but hearing you talk about it, it's worse than I thought. So, wow. Okay, well, thank you, legislature. Brad Baker, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator for Santa Rosa County. Brad, as always, thank you for the time explaining things, clarifying things, debunking things. I always appreciate that. And thank you for all the good work that you do running the county. You've been doing a great job. But we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.